Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker. And now up on TSN 2, Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We talked about it at 4 o'clock. It's still ugly outside Toronto, and it's kind of replicating the mood of the sports scene as well, where the Leafs are not off to a great start. The Raptors are now 1-3. DeMar DeRozan came through town and did what he is known to do. And give him credit in Chicago. Like, they're 4-0 to start the year. That's the first time since the late 90s Bulls have started as hot as they are, and they look good. Zach LaVine, DeMar, Lonzo Ball, they got some players. You know, they look like they might finally be coming out of the basement, which is where they've been. They've been so irrelevant for so long, Chicago.
Well, they had that one kind of group of team. I think D. Rose won
Derek
an
Rose,
MVP.
Yep. Yeah.
He won an MVP there, and they made some noise, but it's like it's not been – they deserve a good team, though, man. I'm glad they're putting a good team. Obviously, Raptors didn't get the job done. I think Scotty Barnes is going to cause some problems, though. I think he's going to be good, man.
Well, I would hope so. He went fourth overall, right?
Yeah, like, but he looks like he's going to be a difference maker. He already is.
Yeah, he played like 40 minutes last night. He's played a lot of minutes. Their depth is being challenged. I mean, that's become clear, and they're not getting a lot out of guys like Chris Boucher and Cam Birch and – you know, they're playing Delano Banton's playing some minutes, not a ton, but that's a second-round pick rookie, you know, and he's getting minutes early in the season. So you're asking a lot out of guys that may not be prepared to give you that much. And Siakam was a full participant in practice today, which would suggest he's right around the corner. And that one player can change a lot, especially when he's your best player, right? Like, Siakam, this isn't LeBron coming back or KD or Giannis, but Siakam means a lot to this team. A lot. You lose by 3 against Chicago last night, that could have been the difference.
Of course. Right.
Changes both sides of the ball and certainly opens up options offensively where they're a team that they're trying to move the ball, they're trying to, you know, find open guys like everyone else in the NBA, but it's difficult when you don't have natural shooters and you don't have a lot of guys who can create on their own, and Siakam can do both. Maybe not at an elite level, but better than what they have on the court right now. So 1-3, it's early, but more expected. Right? Thought there'd be some growing pains with this team, and that's kind of what's going on right now. Steve Phillips later in the hour, game one of the World Series. We'll tee up the World Series with him. Get to confirm or deny here in just a moment. The Leafs are off. They're in Chicago tomorrow.
I've got a, you know, something to confess. I bought my Halloween candy today, and it is –
getting after it?
Wow.
Getting after it. You have to. It's a rite of passage. You know it's going to happen.
You just – I bought like – I mean,
which
I think
ones
we get
did you
some
go
traffic.
With? Did you
well,
get
I buy
trash?
Like I buy like 600 pieces, so it's like there's everything. There's Twizzlers. There's because I feel like I try to give out as much, but then I want to keep a little extra for the family. You know,
why do you have the number 600 pieces in your like? Is that a go-to like a standard? I got to get 600 pieces.
I was trying to like you. Well, they've got those Kit Kat boxes that are like there's 100, so you get two of those, and then there's an 80-piece, and a 60-piece here, and all of a sudden you're like calculating. You're like, why do you have so much?
You're doing the Halloween analytics over there.
I filled up a tub, and that's just like a nice big tub. The thing is now it's the walk-by, and you grab it because it's just a small one. But you've done the walk-by 20 times already.
5 minutes ago, I just did it, and a little coffee crisp and a Kit Kat for the road, and just to see what's up, just checking in.
That little tiny coffee crisp is so gorgeous. It's like that's all you need, and it's just like, oh.
It's the best because we've had this conversation before. We have it every year around this time. Coffee crisp in October is a different treat than coffee crisp in June. It's just not the same.
Sure.
And the full bar, I don't even know why they manufacture those anymore. Like, who's eating a full bar coffee crisp? You need the one-timers.
Yeah.
You need the little tiny one-timers. They're perfect. Naturally, you end up eating 4 or 5, which equals, you know, it's the equivalent of a full bar. But it just feels different. Doesn't feel as gluttonous, right? You have 45,000 packages around, but they're small. So it counts a little bit different, or it feels different. But I think we always lose sight. Like you just said, you wanted to keep a little bit for the family, as if your kids aren't going to go out there and load up bags themselves.
Well, you're right.
You know,
they're bringing home
100 apiece or whatever it is. So the analytics are actually off base. You're going to have like 800 in that house.
Yeah, no way. I'm giving – like I always try and give like a big handful away because it just the more that hangs around – like I think there was almost a clear calendar year where we had it like in the pantry. You just go in and grab one here or there like – and then you got to get rid of it until the next year. Like, it's enough. I bought too much, but I'm going to be generous. And then I think you give stuff away to maybe, you know, relatives or something like that show up at the in-laws.
Yeah, that's in-laws. True. Little package, just, little loot bag for whoever
much.
Rolls through town.
Condo living's perfect. Just no one. Just don't even answer.
You don't even get it? Condos? I would think that's like prime real estate. You just go from door to door, kids. But
I don't know.
There's no
it
light to
happen.
Turn off in the condo. No. You just don't answer the door.
All my time in a condo, I've not had one person ever knock on the door for Halloween.
No, I've lived in apartment buildings. I've never had anyone knock either. Maybe it was my reputation in the building.
I think they just go with their friends and neighborhoods, and that's part of the deal.
Well,
I wouldn't answer it anyway.
If they don't live there, they can't get in if you have any form of security system down below. So you're not just going from condo to condo.
No.
They just
can't
get in.
Halloween in condos is not a thing.
Yeah, it really doesn't exist, right? Like, it's not. I've never seen kids in. I lived in an apartment with, I don't know how many stories it was, 30, 40 stories. I never saw kids around. Like, there were kids that lived in the building, but for Halloween, it was just not anything anyone was doing.
I would think your neighborhood, Hayes, would be prime Halloween.
Like, oh, it's breaking records out here. I remember our first year, it was, like, astonishing because we were living at, you know, in Young and Eglinton. We were in a triplex for a couple of years. We didn't have anyone come up. And my wife was, like, prepared for kids to come up. They didn't come up. And then before that, living in an apartment, like we were just saying, I just never was a part of the program. Like, throughout my 20s, I just didn't partake in Halloween in terms of, like, handing out candy or expecting it. And when we first got out here, we're like, yeah, we'll see what's up. And I'm not kidding you. There must have been 350 kids that knocked on the door the first year. It was, like, outrageous. And we weren't prepared. We ran out. Like, we were one of those stories where people, like, you ran out and you don't believe it. We were those people. We were handing out staplers and, you know, we're just trying to find things around the house. By the end, and then naturally, like, the teenagers knock at, like, 9:45, and it's like, how are
they always get a no dice for me.
Me too.
No dice.
Not happening.
Like, guy with the beard guy, no way.
No, they get a handful from me because that's the, you know, those are the jackasses that are going to, you know, toilet paper your house or
do
something stupid, right? Like, they're in that little wheelhouse, like, hey, we're going to be out, and that house was mean to us, so, you know, I'll leave a little present on the way out type of thing. So,
I just don't think it's mean if you don't answer the door. You know, like, it's one thing if you open it and say, get the hell out of here, I'm not acknowledging your trick-or-treating. It's another thing if it's just a flush. You know, like,
the lights off, go to bed.
Lights
are
off, no one answered the door, sorry, we're done. Like, that shouldn't result in someone getting egged. You know, or scratching their car or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll find out. You know, it's coming up on Sunday. I think the weather's supposed to be pretty nice.
Let's hope.
Here
in
the GTA.
Nice.
So hopefully for sure. I can tell you what my block will be doing. If it's a weekend too, the dad's going to be cruising around.
Oh, and
the
rum cart.
flowing. I can guarantee you that. Steve Phillips in about 15 minutes. Let's fire up some confirm or deny.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
Well, I can't confirm or deny that. Confirm or deny is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Right now, lease a 2022 RX350 premium package from just $268 biweekly for 40 months. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all of the details. All right, confirm or deny that we know the way this works. A statement will be made. Go around the table. Do we confirm or do we deny it? Okay, it's as simple as that. Starting things off, Mitch Marner. Mitch Marner, confirm or deny, Mitch Marner will finish the season with at least a point per game average.
I'm confirming it.
I'll confirm it as well. He's too good. He's too good. Obviously, the chances of this are decreasing day by day, Hayes, and performance after performance. But I still I per point a game all day long. That's how good I think he
80,
is.
82 is low for him. Like, that's
it is
the
based on the last few years, for sure.
But that's the reality I was talking about earlier. Like, it may be 100-point average, 82, back to 100. Like, it might be one of those years. But I every day of the week, he's a point-of-game player. And he'll catch up to that. He's going to have a stretch where everything he touches gets a point. So I'm confirming it.
Yeah, he would need 81 points in 75 games, which 2 weeks ago you'd say would be a lock. And 2 weeks ago, I honestly thought this guy would have over 100 points. I thought he was going to have a great start. And it's taken me by surprise. I know I've said that multiple times. And that's why I'm actually going to deny this. Like, I'm concerned about where he's at, like where his headspace is at, how he's handling this. It all started with the contract. I know we've been down this road a million times, but I thought he played it horribly from a PR standpoint, horribly. Put himself in such a bad spot in this town, and he allowed people to turn on him when he wasn't on the ice. It was off the ice. It was business. But
right.
People have held that against him. He became the poster boy of what went wrong at the end of the Habs series, and it's carried over.
But
he will
he
break
supposed
out.
To do, Hayes, as a player trying to get the most money possible, what would you have done differently?
I would have thought
to do, say, oh, I'm going to chew on it and I'll take less.
How is chewing on it when the deal was 10 years at six years for 10 million? That 800 grand, is worth it to you for people to turn on you? Like that was originally wasn't the offer on the table like 6 years at
look,
10.5
look,
or something?
I understand. I'm just saying
that's how I would have played it. I'm answering.
I know.
You. That's how I would have played it.
You're asking a guy to just wipe his rear end with 800 grand. It's like, you're going to give it to me, I'll take it. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, then you pay the price for it is the
okay.
point. Is that's fine. Right. He did it. Clearly, he made his bed. But you can't act surprised that people are going to hold that against you. And I think from a PR standpoint, it really put him in a bad spot. I think it's abundantly clear now. I do. I think he got hit hard. Because of the negotiation, he didn't miss any games. He missed like 3 days of camp, and it was all good. But the perception after that was the money was the priority, and he got it, which it is a business, and he can do whatever he wants to. But people can react the same way.
Yeah.
You know, you always hear athletes and guys say, well, what do you want? He's going to take whatever he gets. Fine. But fans can react whichever way they want to. You can't have it both ways. You can't control the reaction. And I remember saying it at the time. No better. You're from Toronto. Don't mess with the market. Take this right. 6 years at 10.5 and show up day one of camp. People would love you for it. It's 300 grand.
Right.
But couldn't do it. Needed every penny. And I'm telling you, I think he's still dealing with that. I think he's dealing with the public blowback of it all. And I feel like watching him play early in the season, I'm worried that he's just not – he's not going to have 45 points or something stupid like that. But it might take him longer to break out of it. It may not be tomorrow night.
There's a lot of vitriol towards him, too. Like, I feel like, you know, their loss in the playoffs, like, people are like, it was his fault and nobody else's.
Yeah, which is completely unfair and unreasonable.
It's very unfair,
but I think there's truth in that.
Like, you guys are around here. You have the pulse of Toronto way more than I do. But, like, I get that sense. Any Leaf fan you talk to, it's like, oh, Marner, like, there were other guys that contributed to that. You know, like, it's like they focus on one play or one person, and that's all of their vigor goes,
yeah,
vigor
the scoring
goes to them.
Is scoring somewhat focused.
Them,
and,
right?
Again, that's why we're
You're
digging up old
Grace
here, but I'm concerned about where he's at and how he's overthinking about the fan base in the market. And I just, you know, he'll end up with 70 points, 75, and as long as he's rocking at the right time they get in, who cares? Doesn't matter, right? But he's off to such a slow start, and it's mental. It's not physical. It's not his ability. We all know what he can do. Guy's a great player, but last night was that was not a good look for him coming off the weekend, and it's not a good look. Confirm and deny, the Kansas City Chiefs will turn it around and make the playoffs.
I'm going to say deny. Everybody thinks that just Patrick Mahomes morphs back into the superstar. I'm going to say they have a down year, and it just doesn't look right. Like, whether it's the defense that can't stop and that's forcing the offense to try these goofy plays and they're turning the ball all over the place. I don't know what it is, but it's just sports, man. Sometimes it just doesn't turn around and everything's rosy and they get back into Super Bowl favorite type conversations. That just doesn't happen every time. I'm going to say deny.
Yeah. What made me think about looking at guys' stats and stuff in different sports was looking at Mahomes and how he's been struggling recently. And you're like, great players have off seasons, and it just looks to me like something. He's just having one of those seasons where it's just not jiving, and the team around him, like, he's the guy who drives him, right? So, I'm going to confirm. Is it confirming or denied? Like, I don't think
the
they're going to
confirm or deny is that they will turn around and make the playoffs.
Then I'm denying it.
Okay,
I don't think
deny.
They will. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go against you guys, but hesitantly, and I'm not fully committed to it. But I will confirm it based on their schedule. They've got the Giants coming up. They've got games against Denver and Pittsburgh, and they finish against Minnesota at home, and they're at the Niners. Like, those are games I think they'll win. They should win, and then it's a matter of them sparking appropriately, because it is ugly, man. The turnovers are awful. The defense is really not in a good place. But
right.
With the expanded playoffs now and an extra week to catch up for lost ground, I could still see them getting to 11 wins and sneaking in, you know, 10 or 11 wins and sneaking in. But I'm not nearly as confident in that as I was clearly a few weeks ago, like everyone else.
Right.
Confirm or deny, a Houston Astros World Series win would win back a lot of their haters.
Wow.
Confirm. Don't you think they won without all the
cheating?
No, the
yeah.
cheating.
Unless you're in Boston and you're convinced they're still doing it, but
well, I think it would. I think people would go, you know what? They're a really good team that did cross the line, but you still got to give them credit for their skill and their resolve.
Yeah, like I'm going to confirm it from that standpoint. It'll be hesitant, and people won't want to do it, but they'll be like, "Yeah, I got to give them credit, man." This team has been hated everywhere they've gone.
Yeah, it'll never take away from the hate because it's just like they can't do it. But people will say, maybe they were just damn good, and maybe it wouldn't have mattered. They might have that in the back of their mind.
Right.
I'll confirm it.
Yeah, look where they're at, man. Like, look at this team. Like they.
Yeah, and it's not like they missed the playoffs last year. They made the playoffs last year.
Yep, they did. Yep, every year they go back. Every single year they win the AFC or the American League West, and it's like, here we go. We're back. Houston, been that way for a long time. Confirm or deny, the Buffalo Sabres will avoid disaster and will finish the season outside of the bottom five in the standings.
No. They got a tidal wave coming their way. Craigie Anderson is 48 years old. Their
He's
goalie.
Picking wins up, though. Like, I think
he is. He said it was going to take till April to get his.
I'm still not falling off that prediction, man. I'm with you. I'm denying this. They have a 15-game losing streak on the horizon.
You think so?
I think reality's going to set in at some point. Good for them. Like, I'm being genuine. Full credit to Buffalo. Like, they beat up on Tampa last night.
Dude, if any fan base needs kind of a hot start, it's them. Like, good job. But they're gonna get some business coming their way pretty soon.
I would love some I want to give them love. I want some clarity. Like, I the more I keep thinking about it, and the more that keeps leaking out of information, like, Kevin Adams, like, is digging in. Like, good for him. Like, you know him. I don't know him at all, but, like, like, it sounds like the Eichel camp has to own some of this, too. Like, you've got multiple doctors saying that they're not recommending that surgery, and now there's going to be a grievance and stuff. Like, blood on everyone's hands. It's not just strictly on the Buffalo Sabres. Like, Eichel's camp has to own some of this, too.
Kevin Adams, I don't know him as the GM, but what I know of him as a hockey guy, he's a stand-up guy and he's a good man. He would never do anything egregious here. If the situation, the best possible solution was to move the player, he'll do that. But he's not going to do anything that's going to hurt his hockey team or the organization. But he's a good man, and he's not a greasy guy that would do something just to spite somebody else. I know that for a damn fact.
That's a good call.
All right. Well, moving on here to the final confirm or deny, and this one is an important one. From week 8 in the NFL through week 17.
Oh, God, I knew it was coming.
Team Al Dog will finish with a record above 500. So, scratching everything in the past.
Shut up!
As of Thursday
it's
night.
Deny.
Deny.
You're denying it? You don't have confidence in yourself?
Dude, we've tried everything, all right? This isn't funny. Like, we've tried everything, and we suck, and we get rinsed every week, and I'm kind of fed up with it.
Well, there's a guy who's
weird,
a professional
man.
Yeah, it is weird.
To my, what is it, my right or left, depending on what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. He's a professional gambler, ran a casino. Oh, and he's just, You're just toying with both of you mentally.
I know, Noodles. I
watch
know.
It all
but
week.
You saw.
Like, oh, really
you see the research. You see the research Al does, and it's all good stuff.
He reads
it's
a website, and then he writes it down, and he reads it off word
That's
for
right.
word
it's a teleprompter.
On the show, and he's and it makes him sound super smart, and it's.
It's Al's
not,
brother
because...
Burgundy is what it
well,
is.
Well, Joseph from Bookseat said him or one of the guys at Bookseats.com will make the picks. So we'll give Al's brother this week, and if things don't go well, some of the guys from Bookseats.com will do it, and they'll actually.
They're gonna pick have, winners.
I don't know.
They're
I don't
help
know.
Out. They're gonna help out.
Yeah, that they'll consult, right? That's what
I know,
you're
but I just
for?
Love the way you love wheeling this guy out. I've been trying to tell you for a few weeks now, leave him out of this, and you'll start the show saying, "Oh, we're bringing this guy in half an hour," and you just keep wheeling him out.
Well, it's not. What do you mean wheeling him out? I'm not.
I
don't know
Hannibal
what I'm supposed
Lecter.
To do. Yeah, exactly.
You're wheeling him out like a circus pig, and you're like, "Everyone, there he is. Here's the guy that I take money off of every week."
Hannibal Lecter, they wheel him out. He's got the
right.
mask on, and
yeah, that's what it is. He's
that's
a circus trick.
Al's brother up in a cage somewhere, making his picks like Hannibal Lecter. Yeah, I don't know what to, I don't know how to respond to that. I mean, Al's brother's a buddy of ours. He's a friend of the show. He's a part of the show, and. He's always welcome. I mean, the door is always open for Al's brother. So I'm not looking at it from a cynical viewpoint or a position of greed where I want him to step in and take losers. I don't know what he's picking. I have no idea what he's picking until he makes the pick. I don't speak with him. I don't confirm or deny with him beforehand. He gets on the mic and he spits out his facts. It is tremendous information. And he just misses. Like, you know what the amazing thing is? How many times... picks of his will be within scoring distance to cover the number, and the guy's taking a knee. It happened last night. They were in the red zone last night when Seattle went four and out, and Jameis, like, he's right there covering the number, takes a knee. Same thing with the Jerry Goff revenge tour over the weekend where the Rams took a knee late. You know, they kick a field goal, they cover the number, I believe it was, took a knee, and it's just – it's got to be a shock to the system for Al's brother. But all right, we'll see. You know, we're into week 8. To answer this, I'm going to confirm it. I'm confirming that Team Al Dog are well above 500 from weeks 8 through 17. Let's not lose sight of the confirm or deny here.
Buddy, just do me a favor and don't say that. Just don't say confirm it because you know that you don't believe that and you're
it's
just
a kiss
saying
of death.
It.
No, but he's messing
say
with your mind.
Say deny it because I'm denying it.
All right, I deny it.
Thank you.
I'll deny it. You're
Thank
bullying
you.
Me into a deny when I'm trying
you're
to pump
your
tires.
You're just being an idiot for saying I'm going to confirm it because you're just saying garbage as the show. It's like, we're bringing this guy out here to talk about and it's just, you know what happens.
I love this imagery of me wheeling in Al's brother.
Yeah, I'm telling
in
you.
In a Hannibal Lecter suit. And
saying to everyone in the
to
world,
picks.
Have a look. Have a look at these two dopes. Like we're circus pigs.
Yeah, just a couple That's of circus awesome. Clowns who are rolling out. We're in town, and come see Team Al Dog.
Yeah.
And we'll see what they have to say. All right, Confirm or Deny was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Right now, lease a 2022 UX250H premium package from just $208 biweekly for 40 months. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all the details. DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all the details. Our buddy Steve Phillips. Hey, you guys are on the Astros. Team Al Dog are on the Houston Astros. We're doing that straight up, right? No odds, no funny business.
Nothing.
I'm on the Braves. You're on the Houston Astros. So
hang on. First question we got to ask Steve is, can I ask it? I just want to say two teams here. You know, people might not be familiar with either. Who do you like? And let's just see what he has to say.
Okay, so we'll get to All that right. answer. We'll respond to it and more coming up with Steve Phillips. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Steve Phillips coming up here in just a moment. We'll have our look ahead to the weekend with the World Series going on, week 8 in the NFL. Basketball back and running. We got hockey back and running. Golf is kind of on a hiatus now a little bit, eh? Like, it's not the best time. This is the worst time of year for golf, pretty much. After
yeah,
the
we
Zozo.
Got a Bermuda Challenge. We got a Bermuda Challenge coming up or something going on. Some
yeah.
kind of tourney coming up.
I think basically we wait until Hawaii, right? Once they're back in Hawaii, then you get a couple of big tournaments out there. Then they hit California again, and it's go time. It'll be around the corner. And we're facing that, you know, death march up here in Canada in terms of golf being shut down in the next few weeks, right? No one was teeing it last couple of days.
I think, yeah, like almost every golfer, it's like they get their game in some kind of shape and order, and then it's like clubs away.
Gone. For 5 months, too. Not for like a few weeks. Like 5 months, you're not playing. It's not available to you. You can't do it. Not going to happen. But we got the World Series cooking tonight. Game one down in Houston. And to tee it up, we're joined now by our TSN MLB analyst here, Steve Phillips. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm a little depressed now, just with golf shutting down and no PGA. I mean, that's just it's a little depressing.
Yeah, it is.
It's World Series game one night. Come on.
Well, speaking of the World Series, Steve, if you kind of had $100 floating around on the coffee table and you wanted to put it on one team, in your expert opinion, who do you like before we get into the specifics?
I mean, just if I happen to have maybe $100 sitting around with about an hour and a half before game one starting, where if I thought of doing it, where I might put that money, I might put it on the Houston Astros. I think that you know, they've got the home field advantage, which I think is not insignificant this year. Both home crowds are fantastic. But, you know, with home field advantage, the Braves are going to have to win a game at Minute Maid, which I think is going to be difficult. I think that the other thing for Houston is what makes Atlanta really good does not hurt the Houston Astros. So, you know, you think about the Braves and how they won. It's those big three left-handers at the end of the game. It's Max Fried. Well, they've got really strong right-handed hitters, and Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez have the highest slugging percentages, number one and number two, of left-handed hitters against left-handed pitchers. And so they kind of counteract that strength of the Braves. And the Braves, you know, I don't know what right-handed reliever they're going to trust. We saw Luke Jackson get knocked around in the last series. He wasn't very good, and he seemed to lose some confidence. I don't know that they have a right-hander. So I think Brian Snicker is going to just keep going to his left-handers as he has. And I just don't know that they're going to be able to neutralize the offense for the Houston Astros in the way that they need to. Now, the Braves have better starting pitching, but we've seen the way starting pitching goes. It comes down to what bullpen and how you can score runs against the bullpen. And I just think the Astros are going to be a little bit better than the Braves in this series.
Well, and I look at the Braves as well, and I'm hoping for their sake that they don't hit a wall here in terms of this magical run, like them dismantling the Dodgers in the fashion that they did. You'd like to see it just carry it over and you get hotter and hotter and better and better. But that took a lot out of them. It was an incredibly impressive series. And I look at guys like Eddie Rosario, who just had one of the great series in the history of baseball, and there's no way he can replicate that. Like, there's no way Eddie Rosario can bring his NLCS production to the World Series. So I expect the Braves' big guns to take a step back more so than I do the Houston Astros. That's just based on history and more of a feel, a gut feel than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing, remember, they beat the Brewers against whom they were underdogs with that pitching staff. You know, and it was the Freddie Freeman home run against the Josh Hader slider in the eighth inning of Game 4 that advanced them to take on the Dodgers. And so it's been a really tough road for them to get there. Now, that may have sharpened their teeth. But I'm with you. I was a little surprised that Jorge Soler is leading off tonight. You remember, he was lost to COVID. He finally came back in Game 6 of the League Championship Series and got some at-bats. But Rosario's been so good, I would have thought they kept him at the top, even with Framber Valdez on the mound. You know, and the thing about Framber Valdez, he throws bowling balls. Like, his sinker ball is 95, 96, 97. And he gets 70% ground balls. And you know, the Atlanta Braves are the lowest ground ball hitting team in baseball. They like to elevate the ball. And so, you know, they aren't used to a pitcher like this. They don't like pitchers like this. And so the winner of game one in the wild card era, the winner of game one of the World Series has won 21 out of 26 series in the wild card era. So this is an important game. It's in Houston. Framber Valdez coming off that eight innings of phenomenal effort. And yet, you know, they're facing Charlie Morton, who's been a great postseason pitcher in his career.
Steve, what do you make of the work Anthopoulos has done? He's a buddy of ours. We have him on all the time. And as you know, being the general manager of a Major League Baseball team, every move is critiqued. And it's almost like when there's success, everyone falls back on the transactions. Oh, if I didn't make that move, who knows what would have happened? Is this a stroke of genius? Is this throwing you-know-what against the wall and seeing what happens? How do you assess the transactions that he pulled off and the success they're having?
Yeah, if not for Alex Anthopoulos and the moves that he made, the Atlanta Braves would not have made the playoffs, let alone the World Series. You know, I was watching this team a lot, you know, in New York, seeing the Mets in the National League East and seeing them play. They just could not get any traction. They couldn't get anything going. And just when it felt like they did, Acuna goes down, then the whole Marcelo Zuna situation with the domestic violence and now his being placed on administrative leave, Soroka being lost for the year, and they could never get going. And at the trade deadline, they were a sub-500 team when he made the moves. In fact, they didn't have a winning record in this year until August 6th. That's the latest in a season for a team to get a winning record of any World Series-bound team in MLB history. I think the thing to support what he's done is that they also got more home runs this year than any other team in Major League Baseball history from players who did not start with the organization on opening day. He acquired players during the year that weren't minor leaguers. These were guys that came from outside the organization. I think he got 55 home runs from guys that he had acquired in trades. And so he's done a remarkable job. And he didn't ever think they weren't in it. And he looked at run differential as the reason for it, that even at the trade deadline, they were a plus 43. And so they should have been six games over 500 and not, you know, four games under 500. And so he believed in them at that point, that their better days were coming and that timing was working against them. And he was right. Just like in 2015, when the Blue Jays were struggling and it wasn't clear they were in it, he goes out and gets David Price and Tulowitzki, and they make the moves that they did, and then they made the run to win the American League East. And so it's a really great evaluation of his own team and then going out and targeting the right guys to bring in. He did an extraordinary job.
Well, I saw this on MLB Stats. They tweeted this out last hour. Eddie Rosario, Jock Peterson, and Adam Duvall, all of whom were acquired at the trade deadline, have driven in 24 of the Braves' 40 runs this postseason. 60% of the run production is courtesy of those three acquisitions. I mean, that's just grand slam, grand slam, grand slam for
Anthopoulos. You know, and I got to tell you, the other thing is, and I think this is, I think speaks volumes, is Alex has been behind the scenes. He's not been front and center. He's not out there taking a bow. He said, look, if I had known Eddie Rosario was going to be this bit good, I would have signed him for $8 million in the offseason. He's even diminishing his own perception of bringing him in, thinking he could help the team. And remember, he was hurt when they traded for him. He had a strained oblique. He didn't play for about a month after they got him, before he started coming into play. But Alex is a humble guy. He's done a terrific job. And he and Brian Snicker make a great team in Atlanta. Now, the big challenge for them, they want to win a World Series, but Freddie Freeman's a free agent at the end of the year. How about that? What if they lose Freddie Freeman? That to me would be, they've got to find a way to keep him. They've locked up those kids. They've got to give Freddie whatever it's going to take to keep him there, because he should play in Atlanta his entire career.
With Steve Phillips, our MLB analyst, they had a game one of the World Series tonight. So what about Carlos Correa and where you see his future playing out here? Is this potentially the last four, five, six, seven games he plays as a Houston Astro? What do you see happening with Correa?
Yeah, Jim Crane, their owner, says they're going to be in on it, but that just means they're going to be in on it as far as they can. And my sense is that somebody else will offer him more. He's such an intriguing guy to me. He's got back issues that have lingered in his career and flared up here and there. He's had a really good season this year. He's been really vocal, and at times, I think, you know, in many ways, somewhat, aggressive to people who have questioned the organization. And I wonder how many fan bases are going to say, we want him. He'll be our guy. I just don't know. Look, I know what ends up happening is people may say, well, he may be a bad guy, but he's our bad guy. No, I don't think he's a bad guy, but he's been front and center, and very defensive of everything that's taken place there. He's a great player, but I personally, where I would want to go would come up short from where he's going to get, what he's going to get. because his back scares me for the long term.
He's had such a good run there. It really is incredible that Houston is back in the dance. And we'll ask you, we'll get you out of here on a question we were posing to ourselves earlier in the hour. If Houston can win this, if they can win the World Series, do you think a lot of the haters that they've accumulated over the last few years, will they start getting some of them back? How much respect will be directed towards the Astros organization if they can win clean the World Series this year?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think very little. I think there's very little vindication to be earned right now. I just do. I think that in 2017, when they won in the playoffs, they played 9 home games in the playoffs that year. They went 8-1, and in those 9 home games, they hit 19 home runs. On the road, they hit 9 home runs. They scored 43 runs at home and 24 on the road. And so, you know, did it help them? I mean, I don't know how much, but it actually helped them. But since then, what I think is really interesting, since 2018, where we know they haven't been cheating, that they have won 18 road and neutral site playoff games. And so they're not cheating anymore, and you can't get away with it anymore. There's people everywhere, dugout, clubhouse, video rooms. Major League Baseball's got it. You know, there's big brothers watching. They're a great team, and they've got great talent. And, you know, but I don't think that people are going to forgive them for it. I think it's going to be forever tainted. And I think that these three particularly, Altuve, Bregman, and Correa, will be stained throughout their career. I think Springer got free and clear of it. I think some others have as well. But I think those three, I think people are always going to doubt them wherever they go.
Well, we'll find out starting tonight. Always great catching up with you, Steve. We'll do it again soon. Enjoy the World Series. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, my pleasure, guys. Can't wait. Thanks very much.
There's Steve Phillips, our TSN MLB analyst.
So he's on.
Don't you think a GM just one time, like we're talking about Correa, and I was going to jump in there, but you're going to wrap. Like just the GM. No, do you don't understand what I'm saying? I put my hand up, and you were like, okay, we're going to end on this, so I didn't get
it.
Oh,
I see. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
Doesn't the GM one time just want the player to say, look, man, I love it here. I want to stay. Let's just make this thing reasonable. Like they must just hate it that they got to go to market. And I know it's a part of the process, and we always talk about money and how much you deserve, how much you want to get. But the GM just one time would want to say, can't this guy just come to me and pull a Stamkos and say, screw it, I'm staying here. I like it. I don't want to go.
Well, maybe. That would be, I think it would win the PR campaign. I have wondered that from a standpoint of being a legend in a market and how much it's worth and what it means. You know, like Carlos Correa, he's been making a lot of money. He's going to make a lot of money, even if he stays in Houston. And he just says, listen, I'm not messing around. We'll work it out. They'll work it out, and it'll be a lot of money. You know, is it $200 million instead of $250 potentially? But it's life-changing, life-altering, generational wealth that will be coming his way. And in the market of Houston, he will be a king forever. Yep. And that's something, it's easy for me to say it on the outside because it's not my money, it's not my life. And if you're not from that market, then maybe it doesn't mean that much to you. Or someone might convince you, you're a legend anyway because you were here and they won a World Series, and even if you move on, they're always going to remember you. You're always welcome back. It's all good. But, yeah, I mean, the idea of pursuing a full career in one market, sticking around, playing the PR game perfectly, which is really difficult to do, it doesn't seem like guys are trying to achieve that much anymore, you know? Right. And I think the PA plays a factor in that. Like, you got to go to market. You got to lift all the boats up. If you can make $75 million somewhere else, you got to go take it.
Well, and the agent, like, there's so many different
absolutely.
Factors.
For
you know,
sure.
The super agent is good. Like, wear my hat, make sure I'm ready. You know, like, all of these things.
I just have so much respect for Stamkos and what he did. It was like, I got a great life. I got a great team. I ultimately went on to win 2 Cups, but he just said, that's just good enough for me. Like, that's good enough for me. Thank you.
And a legend down there, right? We're not from there. We don't work there. But my understanding is, as popular as Kucherov is and Hedman and Vasilevsky, Stamkos is the man.
Still his team, yeah.
Still his team. He was the first overall pick. He'd been there his whole career. He re-signed. He started the whole trend of everyone else re-signing, and he held the cup first, you know. And he'll live down there the rest of his life. and just be an absolute king. And he could have come back to Toronto. He could have gone to Chicago. He could have gone to Detroit. He could have gone anywhere.
L.A. There were so many teams.
L.A.
That,
they all wanted him. Yep.
Remember the big stakeout, wasn't it? I think Gino Retta was down.
I don't think
like
that
Newport
was for
offices.
Him. That was for Parise.
Brad Richards.
Brad Richards. Yeah, that's right. It was Brad Richards. The big stakeout.
The stakeout for Brad Richards. And he was leaving Tampa, I guess, right? And he signed it. Was it Dallas he went?
No, it was the Rangers, wasn't it?
Either he left Dallas, signed with the Rangers, or left Tampa, signed with Dallas.
Got paid. Remember that deal?
Sure did.
Unbelievable deal. He's a great player, though. Great player.
The deal didn't pay off, though, in terms of what he got paid. He did not live up to the contract in terms of the dollars and cents. But, yeah, he won the Conn Smythe, I believe, in 2004.
Yeah. Hell of
was
a player.
I think it was him that won. It might have been St. Louis, but I think he won the Conn Smythe.
When they won the Cup?
When they won
Tampa?
The Cup. Yeah.
I think he did. Yeah.
I think he had like 23 points or something. Like, it was just outrageous.
He was a damn good player.
Yeah, really good player.
Really
good
player.
Yeah. So we got the World Series cooking tonight, and the Leafs and Raptors are taking some time off. They're just going to, you know, collect themselves, and they're learning lessons. So lessons are being learned, and that's always a positive. Yeah. So,
and don't think because Chicago's junk, it's going to be just a cakewalk tomorrow, Leaf fans. Like Chicago is like they're in desperation mode where they're dying after all the nonsense that's gone on today. Like they'll be, it's not a joke tomorrow. They just
that'll
don't
be their escape
over.
To go and play. Like the right though, like that'll be their escape to go and play because. Before the game, after the game, they're going to be answering questions about, you know, nothing to do with on the ice, basically what's going on with the organization. And it'll be interesting to see. I saw people going, well, you got to talk to Duncan Keith about it. Well, I mean, those players were playing. I'm sure they would have heard about it. But again, you trust the process to, you know, I saw that in Edmonton. Like, you're going to ask Jonathan Toews about it. Like, you know, there's, again, there's going to be an information trail. These guys, my understanding from reading through some of the documents, the players were interviewed.
They were interviewed for sure, yeah.
Yeah, so they're well aware of what's happening there.
Oh, absolutely. And listen, I think everyone has to prepare for that. It's the biggest story in hockey right now, the aftermath of the investigation and the details that have been revealed. And anyone that was a part of that Chicago Blackhawk Cup-winning team in 2011, they're going to be asked a question about it, if not multiple times. And I'm sure they got to be prepared for it. Duncan Keith would be one of them, you know, among others. But it's not as if Duncan Keith would, to our knowledge, is facing any discipline or anything like that. It's something he might have to answer, whatever it is. What was going on there? What do you make of it? How do you feel about it?
Absolutely.
And I think it's in his best interest to give some answers on it and then move on and play. And he's in Edmonton now.
Right.
You know, he's in a different spot. We'll come back and look ahead to the Leaf game tomorrow night, to Week 8 in the NFL on Thursday. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for the BookSeats.com trip of the week. Lots to look forward to for me. I don't have to look much past Thursday night. Packers in Arizona taking on the Cardinals. I think the Packers might be the best team in the NFC.
What a trip that would be, Hazy. Tee it up, game.
The best. The best. And everything can be done through BookSeats.com. They'll get you the tee times, right? Head to the stadium course, TPC down there. Put on a clinic. Waste Management Open. That'd be great. Go to the game. Wake up. Tee it again in the morning. Fly out. Maybe the red eye Friday night. Perfect.
Dude, my brother at TPC Arizona, or what is it? TPC
Scottsdale, Phoenix? I think.
Scottsdale?
Yeah.
He pulled a tin cup and slice the golf ball right along the tee. All the NHLPA players are all on the tee, and I'm like, you got to keep it together. God knows what we were up to the night before, and this guy goes tin cup on the range, slashing golf balls everywhere. I'm like, people are looking down. They're like, what is this guy doing? And I'm like, nothing to see here. It was outrageous what he was doing on that driving range.
Yeah, if you get a busy range and a guy who just cannot connect, it is
that's hungover.
Terrifying.
I mean,
yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, it's mortifying is what it is. It's actually embarrassing. You get a guy that's – like if you send one over the bow and someone's way down the line where it curves and they're like, that guy almost hit me. Like he just sliced a wedge
right, and
almost hit me on the range. Like it shouldn't be possible. Physics would tell you it's not, but somehow it is. Even the Leafs in Chicago tomorrow night, man, It's going to, the crowd will be going, the whole nine. I mean, there's a lot of great options. Bookseats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. Bookseats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. We're going to have it all for you tomorrow, man. Leafs in Chicago, taking on the Blackhawks. We'll tee it up. We'll see. Maybe Jerry will be around. Maybe a little role play level of concern. Who knows? We'll find out what we're doing tomorrow.
We'll get it fired up.
We will. Yeah. We'll be breaking down game one of the World Series, which is taking place tonight in Houston. So enjoy that. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy all of the games. We're back tomorrow at...
Enjoy your betting success, because it's coming to an end.
Ooh.
4 p.m.
We'll chat soon.
Opposites. I like it. Opposite noodles.
I love it. Yes.
Mixing it up for Team Owl Dog. A different vibe.